Skype of Cthulhu presents a Call of Cthulhu campaign. This is Our Home by Jim Phillips.
We ended last time with the grandmother lying on the floor, bleeding, and the granddaughter in the corner. We had a bit of a thing between Trey and Kirk over what was the best way of dealing with Carolina, and eventually Trey took her outside and called the police. Marcia called the police. They arrived. The sergeant basically said nobody goes inside until the lieutenant gets here. The lieutenant arrived with two AMTs and went in with the sergeant. After a short period of time, the EMTs came out with the body. There was a bit of chatting back and forth, sort of asking for information. Social services arrived up. Trey gave an inspirational speech to Carolina about going with them and then proceeded to threaten the social services people that if anything happened to her, that would be bad. Some of our people went together and started comparing notes and realized that Carolina had been putting together sketches of people and somehow seemed to know, as everybody arrived, before they'd even arrived, she seemed to have a sketch ready to go with them in there. Meanwhile, Trey and Kirk were downstairs in the apartment looking around for anything that might be useful. There was an eviction notice to the grandmother from Hoffman Manor. And apparently the grandfather had died. And she was supposed to leave by some 22nd of October. Again, looked around. The refrigerator had some drawings on it. Normal child type drawings on things. And then we found some adoption papers for Caroline Hoffman. And then Frank tells Trey about seeing a tall, thin man in his room. I think is where we ended off. Did I miss anything important, Jim?
I don't think so. or a lot. One of those two.
Right. Good. Yes. Skipped over some of the dates and things. Yeah. Probably would have been important. But here you go.
Yeah, I think at the very end, it was Frank and Trey that were still going over the room. Everyone else.
Right. I think Kirk went to bed.
Yeah. I think everybody else. Yeah.
Science is killing me. Someone should say something.
Are we ready to go, Joe? Or
sorry, I was saying something. I was just saying it on mute.
However,
yeah. So
history.
It is the morning of Thursday, the 23rd of September. Everyone else has gone to bed. It was a long night. And got to get some sleep as you got to go to work this afternoon. Frank and Trey, is there anything more the two of you wanted to do, or are you going to turn in as well?
I think at this point, yeah, I'll call it a night. Frank, thanks for looking through the room with me. I'm going to go ahead and cash it in. I've got a long night this evening. It's a really spooky story you just told me about the old man. I forgot exactly how you put it, but very creepy. So to bed for me.
Okay.
But I'm not going to, sleep. I go to work at night in the evening, I think, right, at the gas station.
Well, you work swing shift, so
yeah,
at like
okay,
3 p.m.
Okay, so What is it, like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 when we say morning?
Probably 6, 7, something like that.
6, 7.
By now.
Okay. So I'm going to get to bed for maybe just a few hours. Get up around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, I guess, is more reasonable. And get ready because I'm going to go down to see social services, see if I can check on little girl.
Okay, that sounds like a good thing to do. So, Ms. Greer, you are going to be headed to social services later in a bit.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I might actually join Ms. Greer because I'm thinking of checking on her, see if the girl's okay.
Mr. Michael, also headed to social services. What about everyone else? A full day's rest, a half day's rest? Anything else to do? Just go through the normal routine and head to work?
I will make sure that Kirk knows that I'm going out too, since he was, also.
Yeah, you stayed in the apartment for a little bit. Anything interesting happen?
Not too much. I got to talking. Excuse me. I got to talking with Frank a little bit. He's not such a bad guy. He's also got kind of concerned about what's going on. Although it's got some strange ideas.
Did you find anything else in the room?
Did you know about the adoption papers?
No. When did that happen?
Yeah, it seems like in 75, Carolina was adopted.
Huh. How old is she?
Yeah, 75 to 76. So she, did it say, like, give a birthday on the papers, Jim?
Yes, it did. Give me a moment to figure out what that birthday was, however. That would have been, let's see, that would be, oops. Carry the one. Where is it? There it is. Sorry.
Scorpio's on the rise, so carry
three. She's 6 years old, if that helps.
It is interesting.
She was born June 21st, 1970.
Okay.
Huh. Boy, it's 1970. That's a year I won't forget. That's when all this unpleasantness started happening.
Unpleasantness.
Well, you must have read the reports. He's sort of taking you into confidence in a way he hasn't with anybody so far. Yeah, no, I got accused of some improprieties, and there was just a lot of accusations. They were all false. I mean, I know everybody in prison says they're false, but in my case, they really were. Talking about drugs and violence and. Yeah.
What did you used to do?
Oh, I was an actor.
Huh.
You probably wouldn't. How old is Trey?
Trey is, how old did I make her? About 37.
37. So yeah, you would have missed it when, you were probably just around born when I was doing Westerns and had a TV show.
No kidding. Get out.
Oh, yeah. No, all my stuff's in storage somewhere. But, I was had posters and signed autographs for kids. And Yeah.
Interesting. I used to be a cabbie myself.
Huh. What happened to you?
Just like everybody else, I didn't do it. Everybody else in prison. I got set up, though, for me. running drugs and women is what they said, but I don't have anything else to do with it. You know how the cops can be, especially with a black woman. This
how long? How long were you in prison for?
That's a good question. I lost that sheet. Maybe 5 years. I lost track, to be honest with you.
So around the same time I did. That's weird. I guess it makes sense. You go into prison for 5 years, they get you out on parole.
Yeah, you couldn't be too...
3 years for Miss Greer.
3 years. Thank you. I have to find that little info on myself.
Well, anyway, you want me to come with you, or?
Yeah, I think she could use as much support as she can get.
Sure.
Peter, also our local jock, has said he wants to tag along. So.
Well, it'll be good to meet the new guy, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we have a growing party headed to social services here in a bit. The others, Mr. Romero, Mr. Mazur, Ms. Janelle, anything to do today?
I think Mr. Mazur will keep his usual late morning basketball date and then get his jog in, which he missed yesterday due to socializing with the new arrival, Peter Michael.
Seems reasonable.
Okay, Romero is going to try to call social services to see if he can pay a visit to Carolina?
Calling ahead instead of joining the just show up party. Okay. Excellent choice. And Ms. Janelle?
Marcia Janelle sleeps in because it was a very late night. And then she is going to go for some lunch to a diner.
Okay. Going out for lunch, reminiscing about the good old days of being a waitress, but at a better place than the diner. You take what you can get. Makes total sense. Okay. So let's start with Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin, and Mr. Michael. So the three of you were going to not sleep in as late, a few hours, you said, kind of mid-late morning kind of thing, get up and pack your way downtown to the social services office.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Can I get a sub-party luck roll from the three of you?
Let's see. I am at 43.
Whoa. Sorry, the sheet says 55, so...
Oh, yeah, I burned it down to...
Yeah, nice. That. Go ahead and roll, then. Go ahead and roll.
All right. What about our quarterback?
He's at 70.
What's he doing? Okay. Well, a 93 sounds about perfect. Right to get it started.
Yep. Should have called ahead.
Okay, yep. Fair enough. No, actually, has nothing to do with that. So as the three of you are leaving mid-morning, you know, you kind of pack your way out. You can see as you are leaving, the door to apartment number 2 is standing open. The police tape is hanging down by one side, right? It's just kind of dangling there.
And since we were the last ones there, we made sure that it was fixed, right?
Yes, you did. But it's immediately obvious as to why this might be, as there is a crew of about four men in overalls. They appear to be uniforms. They all have the same patch of, Staten Island moving. And they are appear to be packing all the furniture and stuff out of the apartment and into a truck that is parked outside.
Let me check with some lines and veils real quick. Is everyone okay with a little bit of profanity, which I normally don't endorse? But Trey's pretty pissed.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
No issues here either.
All right. What the hell are you guys doing? What do you think you're doing in there?
What the hell? What does it look like we're doing, lady? We're moving this stuff out.
Bullshit, you are. That lady just got killed last night. It's still a crime scene. Don't you see the tape? And I'll kind of grab it, and kind of wave it a little bit where it was on the ground.
I don't know nothing about no crime scene. We're hired to do the job. We're doing the job.
You got a problem? What, are you blind? It's right here. You had to take it down to come in.
You got a problem. Take it up with the manager.
No, I'm taking it up with you. You can't just do this. I mean, look right there. And I point down to the blood is still there, right?
Yes. The carpet has not been taken up or cleaned or anything yet.
In fact, I will bend down and put my finger in it, which I'm sure is still wet because it was pulled so heavily from the night before, and pick it up and shove my finger in his face. It's like the blood's not even drying on the carpet.
Well, like I said, you need to take that up with the manager. We're just doing our job.
Get the hell out of here right now.
Listen, lady, am I going to have to call the police? Are you going to be a problem here?
Trey, you don't want to get the police involved here. Come on. It's fine. Let's go take care of the girl. Let's go take care of the girl. That's what's important here.
You better not be here when I get back. I'm going to go up and get my axe handle. I'm going to whip the shit out of you.
Okay. Let's go.
Yeah, try it, lady. Are you allowing yourself to be let outside, Ms. Greer?
If Kurt is doing that kind of taking my arm thing or whatever, I'll be like pulling on him. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and try to pull right out. And I don't know how hard he's holding on to me, but
nope,
if I
the lightest of touches. You can
the lightest of touches, yeah. Yeah, she's into it, man. She'll like charge and smack that fella across his face.
Not how I saw this going. Fighting problem.
Okay. Oh, no, 87. She tries to. She's only so badass. Big talk.
Yeah, he kind of... Okay, now look. I don't usually truck with hitting a woman, but I ain't going to take this any longer. You got a problem with the job, you talk to the management. We're just working folks here.
I will attempt to take my bloody finger, I guess, and like wipe it on his shirt, like up around his collar.
He just kind of stands there as you do so. You better hope that comes out, or you're going to be paying for it.
Again, you better not be here.
when I get back. And I turn and leave with as much dignity as I can muster.
Okay. Are they just picking up the furniture and moving it?
They are picking up the furniture and carrying it out, wrapping stuff in blankets, that kind of thing. They're taking all the dishes and stuff out of the kitchen and boxing them up. They're taking the personal effects and boxing them up and, loading boxes onto the truck as well. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious. They're clearing the apartment.
So I leave. I'll say, I hope you boys don't catch any of the diseases in that blood. That'd be bad.
Okay.
So the landlady lives on site or not? I've forgotten.
Apartment number one is labeled as manager. But you were told when you moved in, that the manager, Ms. Bach, Ms. Ilse Bach, does not actually live on site, but you do have contact information for the property management company, Hoffman Management, where you can, call the office if you need anything, kind of thing.
Do we have an address for them, or is that just like a big kind of national, umbrella?
As far as the size and scope of Hoffman Management, I don't think you have any clue. The card that you were given does have an office in Manhattan.
In our home, we live in the city, which is not Manhattan. Am I right?
You live in New York City, but you live on Staten Island.
Oh, okay. All right. So I will make sure I have that information. I'll go stomping upstairs. I'll be right back. Wait here. And get that information. Scribble it down and, head on out.
Okay. Make your way to the subway station and... The address that you were given for the Central Social Services office is also in Manhattan.
Okay.
So you would anywhere hop near on the subway other? And head in that direction.
Anywhere near each other? I'm not familiar with the city very much, but it is an island that is rather big there, right? Yeah. Kind of hard to get from one end to the other.
Yeah, the answer is no.
Yes.
Not like next door or anything convenient like that.
Right.
So as you are headed to the to Manhattan, trundling along on the subway, let us cut to, let's do Ms. Janelle first. So you get up some point a little later than the other three. You said you were going to head off to a nearby diner. I'm sure there is one four or five blocks away. Little corner, Greasy Spoon. As you are heading out, would you make a luck roll, please, Ms. Janelle?
Okay. Yeah, luck. 40. Okay, let's see. 008 out of 40.
Okay.
Really good.
So as you are headed out of the building, you similarly see the moving crew. It looks like they're, just kind of finishing up moving stuff out of the apartment. The truck is still parked outside. Four guys, coveralls, Staten Island moving. As you walk past the door, you can see that they've clearly just about cleaned the apartment out. They're just kind of pulling the moving the last few boxes and stuff out of the apartment. But as you pass by, the door to the to apartment number one, the manager's apartment, opens, and Ms. Bach steps out, and she closes the door behind her, and then turns. Huh, Ms. Chanel.
Hi, Ms. Bach.
I understand you were one of those who found poor Ms. Roldan this morning.
Yeah, there was a lot of commotion last night.
Oh, it sounds like it was quite an incident. I do hope you are okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. Does that little girl have any other family?
Oh, little Carolina? Oh, I'm afraid I don't know. I'm sure the appropriate city government services will take fine care of her.
Yeah, did
whatever it was that she did.
What she did?
Oh, well, that was the information I was given from the detectives. They say she killed her grandmother, and I don't know. Certainly you can't, you know, send a little girl like that to life for murder, but...
What are you talking about? She was catatonic and afraid and scared in the corner and would barely look up. What are you talking about, that she killed the woman? Where did you hear this?
Well, as I said, that's what I was given to understand from the detective.
From the detective. Do you have his contact information?
I probably do. I'm sure I have it back at the office, yes.
Yeah, can I get his name? I need his name.
Well, why don't you call the office later and... I should be back there at least briefly later this afternoon. If you want to call the office, I can find it for you.
Well, can you get any sooner than that? This is really important.
Well, as you can see, I'm not at the office right now. And I have my own business to attend to. The movers will be done shortly. I need to sign them off and... I believe the maintenance team will be here in a bit. But as I said, please call later. Call the office later. I'll see if I can help you.
I'll call later. Thanks.
And she turns and heads outside and starts talking to the movers.
So Marsha just takes instantly and heads for the police station.
Okay. To the police.
So whenever I passed by there, I wasn't anywhere near. I didn't see our other crew or anything like that. I just passed this lady and then that's it.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, she heads to the police station.
Okay. Mr. Mazur, Mr. Romero.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Mazur, you're probably getting up a little later. Going to go for your jog, play some basketball?
Yeah, although if I do happen to notice this abandoned apartment, that might be of interest.
So, yeah, as you are passing the apartment, first of all, why don't you make me a luck roll, Mr. Mazur?
All right. 08 is a hard success, extreme success.
Okay. So you can, you know, as you're kind of coming out, you know, with your, you know, shorts, t-shirts, and basketball under your arm.
Yep.
Right, you got your sneakers on, headed to the courts. Yeah, as you pass apartment number two, you know, the door is open, the police tape is dangling. You know, you can see the place has clearly been cleared out. You can just kind of hear a truck pulling away and a van pulling up. And as you kind of go out the front door, standing out on the street, you see Ms. Bach, the property manager, as a van labeled.
I'm gonna, is the cleaning services?
It's actually labeled Hoffman Management.
Okay.
Pulls up, and three gentlemen get out.
So I would have stopped into the room. I guess that's what I was, and okay. Sort of looked around because I was in there, and then you know things got a little fuzzy, and obviously I left. I was shocked, whatever. So I sort of go back into the room and look around to see what detritus or just what's in. Like it all seems like kind of a weird dream. So I sort of go into the room to do a little reality check.
Spot hidden roll.
That's not a success.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the apartment is completely cleared out.
Okay.
You know, basically everything, you know, I mean, the carpet and cabinets and, you know, appliances are still in place, but there is not a lick of furniture. You know, you open
and
a couple of...
So it's just this big blood stain on the carpet and that's about it?
The living room, and that's pretty much it, yeah. You know, you pull open a few, you know, cabinets or drawers in the kitchen, maybe, you know, they are empty. You know, if you check the vanity in the bathroom, it's empty.
Huh. That's interesting. And I guess I'm sort of tempted to take some, but there's no reason to, because I don't know anything's amiss, except it's so fast. There's no reason this crime scene should be done with this quickly. But yeah, I guess I look around. And yeah, and then head down.
Mr. Mazur, what are you doing in the apartment, Mr. Mazur?
Who is this?
As you hear the voice, and then you turn and look, and you see Ms. Bach standing in the doorway.
Okay.
And behind her are three what are clearly maintenance people. You know, they're wearing dungarees and work shirts. They have a little Hoffman Management patch on their shirts. They're, you know, carrying tools.
Okay. Ms. Bach, I was just, I don't know. This I was, last night was such a haze and a blur, and I came down and saw the police tape was off and the door was wide open. Everything was gone. I was... It's hard to believe it really happened. I came in really just to see if it was real, if it was.
That's right. You were with, I just spoke with Ms. Janelle not too long ago. You were with her. You were also one of the ones who.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a scream and knocked in the door and came in and we saw, I think we saw Senora Roldan lying on the ground. And Carolina there. But as I say, everything went kind of black, I guess. And,
well, I can certainly understand. They must have been quite a shock.
Yeah, never seen anything like that.
Something of a scene. I do hope you'll excuse us, however. I need to ask you to leave. The maintenance folks are here too.
Of course.
Clean the apartment.
Yeah, of course. I'm curious enough. I'm gonna step in the blood puddle on my way out.
Okay.
That should work.
It's a little tacky.
Okay. Yeah, I might get something. We'll see. I don't know if there's any chemistry of interest, but I'm curious. And then I may head up to my room and wipe it off on a rag before I go out and play my basketball.
Okay. Let's cut over to Mr. Romero. So you were going to sleep for a while and then get up, and you were going to call social services.
Correct. And kind of, you know, listen, I'm calling because a girl that was picked up yesterday, provide the description, all that. Where can I visit?
I'm sorry, your name again?
Oh, Frank Romero.
Frank Romero. I'm sorry, I don't see you listed.
I'm close friend of the family. I live a few doors from their apartment.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, you will need to contact Mr. Roldan's attorney. I don't believe one has been appointed yet. No, it's not here. I would expect by Monday she should have an attorney appointed. I would suggest you call the public defender's office on Monday and see if you can identify who that attorney is, and then contact them, and they can fill you in on any pertinent information that can be shared to the public.
So I guess I will have a quick chat with her about why this is happening and all that, kind of in the same line as the others. And where is she right now? Where are you holding her? This is crazy.
It is a bit of an unusual situation. We don't get too many children in this unfortunate situation, but as I said, I suggest you call the public defender's office on Monday.
I will just slam the phone and get a jacket, the keys, and leave the apartment. Hopefully rush and see if I can meet with the others. Give them the bad news.
Okay. Why don't you give me a luck roll?
Oh, no, it's not a pass.
Okay.
I'm very happy.
Yeah. So as you leave the building, you can see that the apartment number two there is standing open. It has been completely cleared out, and in the apartment. You can see Ms. Bach is talking to some workmen and, clearly kind of pointing out, okay, we need to repaint all these walls. I think the cabinetry looks good. We don't need to change that. Let's definitely take this carpet up, whatever we need to do to clean the subfloor and that kind of thing, or having that kind of conversation.
Unbelievable. I'll say as I pass by, I will rush to the door.
Okay. As you head out into the street, you don't see any of your compatriots.
Okay. So in that case,
actually, give me a spot hidden roll.
Okay. 04.
You do see Mr. Mazur at the basketball courts down across the street.
Hey. Mazur, hey Kevin, are you here?
Yeah, I'll toss the ball to whoever I'm playing with and jog over.
Something terrible has happened, and I kind of give him a summary of the situation.
Well, there's no way she could have broken that woman's chest like that.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Poor girl, I want to get there. Do you know any lawyer? Any good lawyer?
Mine's work. If I knew a good lawyer, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. We're in the same boat. Where are the others?
I don't know. I haven't seen them. I just saw Miss Bach headed up with the maintenance crew to the room to clean it all out. It's I was shocked that they're so fast.
I'm starting to wonder if he was arranged to free up that that apartment.
That seems a bit much, but I mean, it could have. If she was being evicted, like, why kill her? But it seems like for whatever reason, it sounds like the girl must be getting framed up here. I mean, there's no way they could have figured out this quickly, even if she said she killed her, which seems unlikely. I don't understand any of it.
I'm heading down to I guess the so Jim, where she didn't respond to me, but I guess I know where they should be holding little girl, right?
So actually probably not. The only thing that you would know is the same thing that the others know, which is that when social services took her, they gave whomever it was and a couple of you, their card with their central address in Manhattan.
Okay. Then I'm heading down to Manhattan to see if I can at least talk to her, and so she feels supported, I guess. You want to come?
I guess if you want to wait, let me get a shower and stuff. I mean, I thought you said that you couldn't get any information about her.
Well, but
Why do you think they're going to let you see her when you show up in person when they didn't let you know anything on the phone?
That's a good question. I guess if we are there, maybe it will be forced to provide us more information.
I've never seen a bureaucracy be forced to do much of anything.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I just don't want her to
feel like you want to do something, huh?
To fall through the system, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing good is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know, but I just can't see going down there. I mean, we go to the police station maybe and find something out. See if, so we could go and say we're nervous about intruders and, see if we can get something, somehow shake something loose that way.
Okay, yeah. That's better than nothing.
All right. Well, I suppose it should be the local precinct, especially if it's this fast.
Okay, I'll wait for you.
Okay.
Shower, whatever.
Quick, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Mazur and Romero will be headed to the police.
Guess so.
Okay. Let us cut over to Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin, Mr. Michael, having made your way to the ferry, hopped the ferry over to Manhattan, subway.
Can I ask a quick question before we get much farther? I'm sorry. It has occurred to me, and it could be important. The terms of our parole.
I was just thinking, are we associating with criminals? They're violating our parole.
That and how far of a leash do we have? Like, how far can we travel without traveling?
You are not supposed to travel out of state without notifying your parole officer.
Out of state, okay.
Which for New York City people means out of New York City.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only place that matters anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. True enough.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. So you make it. You are at a large nondescript building downtown. There's a number of kind of different government agencies and offices here, but social services is listed on particular floor, elevator,
We go way up to that floor. There's a big lobby, reception area, a number of people, some families, some children, some clearly foster parents and other workers sitting around the lobby. It's generally a very depressing kind of place. Kind of everyone is just talking. What little talking is actually being done is in very kind of hushed tones. There's a lot of, kind of all the children you can see, none of them look particularly happy. They're all kind of downcast. One or two of them might be just kind of fiddling with a doll or something, or, running a toy car along the arm of a chair. That's where we are.
Trey, let me go to the desk there, see if I can charm these people.
Okay. I'll wait here. Go ahead and do your thing.
No, it's fine.
No, I was going to say, while I step back to the wall, I'll just kind of look around and take note if there's how many doors kind of seem to lead to the back, or if there's anything, kind of wander over if they have glass in the doors and kind of look beyond and see what I can see, stuff like that. And listen, let Kirk do his thing. Kirk.
Okay. So I'll answer that question really quick. There's really no glass. There's just kind of a small window where the receptionist is. There's one door, that's closed. There isn't even a window in the door, right? There's no external windows in this room. It's just kind of, an obnoxious hum of overhead lighting, kind of a dingy yellow. I mean, this is the most, dark, depressing, unpleasant interior space you can imagine in a major office building.
Right. Not good. And we have Gary's character too, right?
Yep.
One of the notes. Okay.
Yep. What is Peter doing here?
Yep, I'm here.
I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, he's just going, she can't go to jail. I mean, there's no way she did it. So local police officer. I don't know where she'd be kept. I mean, she's a child. I don't think she'd be kept in the police station, do you?
We're not in the police
station. We went to social services. I assume. This is where they would take her and probably put her with a foster family for a period of time if there wasn't a state facility for her. Although, if she's a murder suspect, that's a whole different thing. But we don't know
I don't think you know that yet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know that yet? Oh, okay.
No.
And that guy you're not that there. Sorry.
Okay.
No, I was going to say the guy that Trey spent all to intimidate. He was a social services officer, or he was a police officer that was
taking her. He worked for the apartment complex.
Wait. Let's be clear. Do you mean the guy you braced this morning on your way out of the building, or the guy you braced last in the very early hours of the morning?
It's hard to keep them all straight, huh?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. In the very early morning of the hours of the morning when I was comforting and intimidating that guy.
he was with social services, is what he said.
Yeah. So he's not like a regular cop that was dropping her off.
Correct.
Yeah.
You got a card from him, didn't you?
Which is what led you here, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But do we have his name on the card?
Yeah, I was going to follow up there in a little bit after Kirk does his thing. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's ask for this guy. I mean, he was here, so let's ask for him.
Yeah, I think Kirk's going to do that right now.
Do that? Okay.
I will walk up to the front desk person there. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Can I help you, sir?
Hi there. We're all residents of an apartment building. Over the course of our...
Aren't we all?
Well, yes. It is New York City, after all, and he will give his charming smile. Over the course of our time there, we've come to know a little girl, Carolina, and I'm not going to pronounce... I'm not going to be able to pronounce her last name. So, Roldan. And we sort of adopt her. There's a bit of an unpleasantness last night. Maybe you heard about it. Her grandmother was killed, and we just feel like she's part of our family. We just wanted to check in with her and see how she's doing. You understand?
And the girl was taken by social services.
Yes. We've got Trey. We've got the card right here. I will hand her the card.
Okay. Please wait.
Well, thank you.
Please have a seat. I'll call you back when they're able to talk to you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Does she actually get up from her seat and walk?
Yeah, I want to do a psychology to see if she actually is doing something or if she's just, we're going to sit here for days.
You can give me a spot hidden and a psychology roll.
All right. So, as a failed spot hidden and a massively failed spot psychology roll, I'm sure everything's going fine.
Can any of us do that?
If you are standing over Mr. Griffin's shoulder, watching the whole thing.
Psychology.
Yeah, I guess they brought the card, came up with the card.
So it's successful, spot hidden, and normal success, and psychology, successful psychology.
So successful, spot hidden. So yes, from the spot hidden, you can see that... the receptionist basically has like a message list sort of thing. And she puts down Mr. Griffin's name. And she puts down the name of the social services officer, which I should find so we're not constantly talking with pronouns, on it as well. And then the list just sits there on her desk. It looks like the kind of thing that, like, once it gets kind of built up enough, then she, you know, hands it off to someone in the back or something like that, maybe. And from the psychology role, this lady is as bored as she could possibly be. She really doesn't give two shakes about you. Or, you know, Carolina or anything. She is just a rote functionary, you know, serving her time, doing her job.
Excuse me, miss. And Peter will just sort of smile and try to be a bit charming. Excuse me. Can we, look, this is fairly... urgent. Can we speak to this gentleman as quickly as possible?
I'm sure he will see you as soon as he is free.
Well,
please understand. Please understand. The social services in New York City are quite busy. All of our agents are very overloaded and have a number of cases they have to work with. Every child is worth all the time that the caseworkers can give them. Please wait your turn.
He'll put a little bit of money on the table sort of thing. Go, look, if you could just pass on a note and get him to just come down and see us.
No. Jeez.
Some money.
Would either of the others like to
Kirk
step
is taking
in and stop
three
this
giant
attempt
steps to... backwards. No. Peter's on his own here.
this attempted bribery of city officials.
I don't know which way it's going to go, but either way, he's not going to be connected to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I will sort of turn my head and scratch my nose a little bit and kind of.
What's funny is we all have this low credit rating. It can't even be much of a bribe.
I know, right?
That's true.
It's not that you're bribing. It's just you're doing it so inadequately.
Exactly.
Like a handful of change.
She just looks at you.
Some bus tokens.
Yeah, some bus tokens. So,
as I said, every child is important. Our caseworkers are very overloaded. Every child needs all the time that our caseworkers can give them. Please wait your turn.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
No, that's right.
Now, I was going to say, just so I understand how, you know, what Trey would understand from this, is there, like, on that board, like, a caseworker's name maybe, and then, you know, lines underneath it as to who's there to see them, and we kind of have to wait, and the presumably the caseworker would come out, or is she supposed to go back and tell them and just won't get off her ass to do it?
No, so this isn't a list for one caseworker. This is kind of the global list for the office, let's say.
Okay.
Right. You know, so clearly, kind of everyone else who is waiting here in the office is on the list ahead of you, right? And, you know, waiting for someone. And so, yes, you would expect that someone, once they are free, once they are free and ready to meet with someone else, because they have nothing else to do, they would come up to the receptionist, hey, who's next for me? She would scan down the list, you know, top to bottom, you know, what's the top name on the list with, you know, you caseworker's name attached to it up there? That's so-and-so waiting out in the lobby.
Gotcha.
To sit and wait.
Yeah. I will do some quick mental calculation with what time it is right now and how long it would take me to get back from my job, going back the way that we came, and how many people are in the lobby waiting.
Give me a math roll. No.
A math roll, yes.
How about an intelligence roll?
Okay. See how smart she is. I think she's pretty smart. Yeah. But at 97, she can't be that smart. We have time. We have plenty of time.
And I'm sure it'll only be 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, we will leave the three of you there waiting as your sanity is slowly ground away by the dark room, the buzzing of the fluorescent lights.
Reading a magazine from 5 years ago. Oh.
The quiet desperation of all the sad children around you. Let's get over to Ms. Janelle.
That's
so, Ms.
Rough.
Janelle, you were headed to your local police precinct, which is probably a good 8, 9, 10 blocks away from the Hoffman building there. But you can certainly make your way over there. It doesn't take too terribly long to make the walk.
Sure. So when I get there, excuse me, I go to the counter and I'm going to speak to the person and ask if I can talk to the investigator on the case from the incident last night.
Which case last night?
Sure. This was a case at the Hoffman building with the lady who was murdered, and there was a little girl who was found in the apartment, and the police came to the scene and they did some investigating. This was all late last night in the middle of the night.
Just a moment. Yes, let's see. Detective Tazgul is the investigating officer on that case. You have some information for the detective?
Yeah, I do have some information. It's confidential. I hope to talk to him. You said Detective Caswell?
Tazgul.
Tazgul. Okay, yeah, Tazgul. May I speak to Detective Tazgul?
I will see if he is available. Please have a seat.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We'll join you once he's able.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Can I get a sub-party luck roll from Mr. Mazur and Mr. Romero?
Sure. I'm at 40.
That's you.
All right. I rolled an 88.
Okay. So the two of you, Mr. Mazur, you showered, changed, and the two of you were headed to the local constabulary.
Yep.
As you walk in, you see Ms. Janelle sitting there in the waiting room.
Oh.
The lobby.
Hello, Marcia, how you doing?
Oh my gosh, Kev, is this Kevin? Did you just say this is Kevin who sees me?
Yes.
Yes.
Kevin, oh Frank. My God, I Kevin saw Mrs. Basque. She thinks the detective, they think, oh my God, Kevin, they think the little girl, they think Carolina is the murderer. They think she killed her grandmother. What are we going to do? Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what we heard also. I came down to see if we could talk to the detective, and I don't know what we can do. I mean...
Yeah, we have to tell them that there's no way that that happened in that amount of blood, and that she was catatonic when we saw her. She was terrified and scared, and there's just no way. Plus, we heard that gigantic scream, and with all of the supernatural stuff going on that was happening that night. Oh my gosh, this is...
Couldn't tell them about that. But I don't know, I mean, you know, a lot of that, the fact that she was unconscious, whatever, that's not going to hold any weight, but...
It's Detective Tazgul. I'm on the list to talk to him.
Oh, good. Well, here, I think Frank will be very excited to talk with you guys also. To talk with him also.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean... supernatural stuff happening. What do you mean by that? And I will lower my voice when I'm talking about this.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason I woke up is I heard a sound at my window. And when I looked out the window, there was a lady. She was floating by the window. She was up at the window, not standing on the ledge, just standing on nothing. We went outside to see her, but we couldn't find her.
Well, something similar happened to me. Not a woman. There was a man standing on the corner of my room when I turned the lights and was gone. Blink of an eye. And that's when I heard the scream as well. I don't know. So many strange things happening. Did something like that happen to you, Kevin?
Not really, no. I heard the screaming, and Marcia told me she was seeing something floating outside, so we went to look for it, but we didn't see anything. But I saw the, well, at least I think I did. I saw Anzuela. Nope, that's not quite it. Asunzuela, perhaps. Did I lose it again? Asuncion, that's what it was. I saw Asuncion and Carolina in the room, but I have no idea how any of that happened.
You mean with you when you woke up, or?
No. I mean, we broke. I was the one who broke into the room after the scream, and there that.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I remember.
She was lying there, on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. No, we need to talk to the police. We can pass as witnesses, I think.
The only thing I can think of is that. I mean, it was just too much. Like, I don't think she's strong enough to do that. I mean, it's hard to believe that anyone would think that somebody could have done that. It was, I mean, the woman was, I mean, her chest was broken open.
No, and she didn't have any blood on her.
The little girl?
Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of blacked out. I don't actually know. I didn't see her, really. I mean, she was there, but I didn't...
Well, I did. She didn't have any blood on her.
Okay. Yeah, well, that would be hard to explain away, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah, there's no way. I agree. I don't know how we're going to convince anyone of that, especially us. I guess
we have a seat. We need our time. We are citizens. We
barely
incorporate into society. Yeah. So they should pay attention to what we're saying, says Frank, without knowing anything about the world.
Exactly. the only thing is whether... I mean, what I'm hoping we can find out is, you know, maybe somebody said something, and if we can figure out why the police think she did it, maybe we'll learn something. But
okay, let's wait. See what happens.
Yeah.
As you wait, let us cut over to the social services office. Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin, Mr. Michael. Can I get the three of you to make sanity rolls?
Sanity for dealing with bureaucracy.
This bureaucracy in particular.
The club.
Sitting in this room.
30 is a success.
Wondering what the stories are of all these children you see around you.
It's a success for Pam too.
Yeah, no sanity.
Or Trey.
We were in prison. I feel like, you know.
It's depressing. So the three of you wait about half an hour or so. The door to the back opens, and a woman you don't recognize steps out. She calls out a name you don't recognize. One of the adults in the room kind of, you know, perhaps they were nodding off, kind of, what? Oh, yeah, that's us. And kind of drags the child that is with her to the officer, and they go in the back, and the door closes.
Can I do an idea roll now to sort of say how many people are in front of us and assume that person was there in front of us, so that's a half hour they've been waiting, and there's X number of people in front of them. Can I also see how long I think this is going to take? Because I do think we have to get to work at some point.
Absolutely, you can.
Good time to roll an 18. Perfect.
You are fairly sure that there is next to no chance that you are going to meet with Mr. Nico. Randall Nico, by the way, is the name of the social services officer who you met this morning. His partner was Peggy Zoy, in case that comes up for some reason. Before such a time that you would have to be headed back to get back to work on time. Especially given that you are a long ways away and it is a time consuming journey.
Trey, I mean, we're gonna miss work if we don't get out of here.
I mean you're not gonna miss work if you know, you don't have to like leave right now. Yeah, I mean, you can certainly sit and wait it out, but you don't expect there to be. You don't expect it to be in time. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, Trey. I mean, we got to get here first thing. Got to get here when the doors open if we're going to do this. So come back. We'll come back tomorrow.
Or you could do what he suggested and call and make an appointment.
Oh, was that a thing we heard?
That was a thing you heard, yeah.
Well,
I'll give that to you for free.
How about we just make an appointment, Dre?
I'm sure ex-cons have cell phones, right?
In 1976?
Oh, no, probably we don't. Not in 1976.
No, we don't.
Holy smokes.
The odds are not in your favor for that one.
No, but we can. No. If we make an appointment, we can just come back at that time. Let's just make an appointment. Morning appointment. We'll get over here early, right after work.
Right
after we get a night's sleep. Fine,
but I want to leave a letter. I want to leave a letter and see if it gets to her. So, yeah, let's go over to the window.
Yes, can I help you?
We'd like to make an appointment.
Certainly, always a recommended approach. Who would you like to, which officer, which caseworker would you like to meet with?
Well, either Randall, Nico, or Peggy Zoe.
Whoever
we can meet with earlier.
Let me see. And she kind of pulls out, you know, she kind of, you know, looks up to a shelf above her and pulls down a couple appointment books. Let me see. Sub-party luck roll.
You're up.
That's me again. Steve. Well, you got an 18. Maybe I can. No, 54.
Why don't you push it and see if he punches you?
How could I push this?
I don't think you can.
You can't push a luck roll.
I was about to say, it's a luck roll. Damn it. I do like pushing things, though.
Let's see.
Good luck or my luck? Like my friend's luck?
Wouldn't that be something? Miss Zoe has time on Tuesday. That would be the 28th. Or if you want to meet with Mr. Nico, it looks like he has a little bit of time on Wednesday, the 29th.
We'll take the 28th. Thank you.
28th with Ms. Zoe at, let's see, she has a 1 o'clock and a 2 o'clock open.
Do we think we can get back in time from a 1 o'clock appointment and get to work in time?
As long as the appointment doesn't last more than an hour? Yes.
Yeah, no, she's never going to give us more than
an hour. Okay. As long as the appointment starts on time and doesn't last.
What time is Mr. Nico available?
Let's see. Mr. Nico would be available on the 29th. As I said, he has an 11 o'clock and a 3 o'clock.
We'll take the 11 o'clock one.
11 o'clock with Mr. Nico on the 29th. And your name again?
Sorry, Kirk Griffin.
And the case number you wish to meet with him as, or is this a new case?
It's a new case. We don't have the number at this point.
Do you have the name of the child?
I say the name of the Carolina Rutherford.
Okay. We will see you then.
Great.
I kind of felt like you were about to back off, but she will lean over kind of plaintively. Is there a way to talk to the little girl or get a message to her if I write a note? I just want to let her know she's not alone.
If you would like to leave something, the child is in social services custody at the moment.
Yes.
If you would like to leave something, I will see that it is delivered to Mr. Nico, and he will make a determination as to what to do with it.
Thank you. Could I borrow a pen and some paper, please? This is Pam or Trey at her most effacing.
She sighs deeply. Pulls a small notepad and a pen out of a drawer and hands them to you.
Perfect. I will write a little letter to let her know that I know she's going through a bad time, but she's not alone. She has friends back at the apartment. This is Trey, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And then write the case officer's names on it on the outside and fold it neatly and hand it back.
Okay.
And I will steal that pen.
And she doesn't even blink at the pen. She clearly doesn't care. But you do have a cheap ballpoint pen with New York City Social Services engraved on the side of it. She takes out an envelope and puts your missive in the envelope and writes, Randall Nico, Thursday, 23 September, current time. And your name, ma'am, was?
Trey Greer.
And she writes from Trey Greer on it as well. I will see that Mr. Nico gets this.
Thank you.
Of course. Good day. Does this mean, Mr. Griffin, does this mean I can take you off the list? You're not.
Oh, going no, to no, wait? No. No, we'll. Oh, on the list for today? Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Excellent. And she clearly, with some amount of zeal, scratches out your entry in the waiting list.
While we were waiting, did we see people come in and go straight back into the back offices, like staff people arrive?
No.
Good question.
Okay. As soon as we're outside, not close enough. Sorry, Peter, are you coming with us? Suppose I should have asked.
Yes, I am. Yes, Peter is.
As soon as we're outside, the door is closed, I said, you know, there's got to be a staff entrance for this building. I bet if we came here tomorrow early morning, we cased it out, maybe we could see one of them before they walk into work.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Prison taught me a few things. Sounds like you learned your lessons too. Kind of smile.
Oh, I got it from a movie I was in, but thanks.
Yeah, they used to take out the dry goods stores back in the Ponderosa Ranch. I know.
Well, let's cut away from the three of you over to Mr. Mazur, Mr. Romero, and Ms. Janelle. So the three of you are at the police precinct there waiting. It is fairly busy, right? You know, police are coming and going with usually coming with some presumed ne'er-do-well people coming and going, attorneys, members of the public. There's a lot going on here. After about 40 minutes or so, Detective Tazgul, you absolutely recognize him. He is the... no, I'm sorry, you don't recognize him, actually. I take that back. I do apologize. Comes out. Ms. Janelle, is there a Ms. Janelle here?
Yes, Your Honor, Officer. Yes, Officer.
Marcia Janelle?
Yes.
I understand you have some information in the Roldan case.
Yes. Can we perhaps talk in your office?
Yes, please. Come this right this way.
Great, thanks. And do the others come in too? Yeah, okay.
The others? You have others with you? I was just told that...
Yes, we're all together, the three of us. We're coming for the same reason.
I'm sorry, and you are?
I'm Romero, Frank Romero.
And you have some information on the case as well?
I look at her and, what would you tell him?
Yes, wait.
We were all there in the after the incident happened.
Yeah, I'm a witness that the aftermath of what happened.
Oh, okay, I see. And you, sir? Looking at Kevin, Mr. Mazur.
Who's muted?
Mr. Mazur is blacked out again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry. I had been saying a couple things. I was the one who broke the door down. I was the first one in after we heard the screaming.
Okay. Well, certainly. Come right this way. And he leads you into the back and kind of down a hallway. Let's talk in here. And he opens the door and sees the three of you in. It is a plain room. It's painted just kind of a dull pea green. There's a single table. There's three chairs, kind of two on one side, one on the other. Let me see if I can find another chair here. He closes the door with the three of you in it. Comes back in a couple minutes, opens the door, dragging a chair. Please have a seat. Have a seat.
Thanks. Thank you.
So that was quite something.
Pulls out a notebook.
What can you tell me? What did you see?
Mrs. Box says you think the child is a suspect in the death. Is this correct?
I'm sorry, it's an ongoing police investigation.
Razor sort of covers his face a little bit. Yeah.
There's no way that child is capable of what happened. You saw the chest was ripped open and there was no blood on the child. There was blood all over the place around the body. There was no blood on the child or where we saw the child in the corner. She was completely helpless and scared and terrified. There's no way that was the child.
Let's see. So you saw the body, you saw Carolina, that's right, Carolina, you saw her. And you say in you didn't see any blood on Carolina?
Carolina, I will correct him.
Carolina, okay, thank
yes.
you. Mr. Romero, Mr. Mazur, is that what you saw as well? You
Yeah, no blood on the little girl. Impossible for her to do something like that. She was catatonic on one of the corners of the room.
Yeah, catatonic. That's a big word. Are you a doctor or psychologist of some kind?
No. I am an engineer. I've seen things at work.
You work with catatonic people?
No. Horrible things happen over on construction. So I used to work at the tunnel construction, and there was a huge problem there. And I've seen things. I know what I'm talking about, sir. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but yes, she was out completely. Nude. She barely moved. She was in the corner. No blood. Not a single drop of blood on her. Right. You saw her, Kevin.
I think so. Yeah.
You think so? So she might have had blood on her.
I can't speak to whether she had blood on her. I saw the grandmother with her chest broken open, and that's the last thing. I don't know.
But sir, that should be very easy for you to confirm. The clothing of she was wearing, you could actually, that's what you do. You can tell that there was no blood.
That is what we do. Yes, I am a detective. We investigate homicides and suspicious deaths.
Have you been able to see the girl? She's a small baby. No way she could have done something like that to an adult.
And why do you think that is? Why are you so certain that she would be unable to do that, Mr. Romero? Just because of the size?
Not only because of the size, of the type of relationship that they had. Remember, we live on the same building where this happened. I knew the girl and the grandmother.
And how would you characterize their relationship?
The girl was very sweet, not only to her grandma, but to everyone. I'm actually lying here. I think I don't know about her relationship with her grandma, right? Do I?
Why don't you give me a retroactive psychology role?
Okay. Unfortunately, that is not a success.
Then you are welcome to believe whatever you would like.
So I will say that. Very sweet. She used to play playground outside. They seemed to get along very well. I knew the grandma. She was super sweet as well. It's impossible. I'm telling you, it is impossible.
Why don't you make a fast talk roll, Mr. Romero? Okay, well, that's good information.
Detective Taskell, that was she's a small child. There was no tool or anything available around in that room that could have opened up the chest like that and caused that much blood. That was just, it would be impossible for that child to be the cause of that.
So you didn't see, did you see any, so you're saying you saw nothing that could have been used in your opinion, as a murder weapon?
We didn't see anything in there that looked like it could be used. I don't know what happened to cause that. There was no blood anywhere else in the room other than on the carpet around the woman.
Mr. Romero, Mr. Mazur, can you confirm that? You also did not see anything that could have been used as a murder weapon by Carolina or anyone else?
Since I got into the room afterwards, I know that there wasn't anything there, right, that could cause that level of harm to the grandma, right?
Correct.
For sure.
Yes.
So I will be very, very honest and direct about this. Yes, 100% sure. Nothing.
I'm afraid I don't know. I really don't know.
Sounds like you don't have a whole lot of information, Mr. Mason.
No, I don't. I'm really here with them. I was going to offer to stay out in the hall there, but it seemed easier to just come in. I don't mean to waste your time or anything, but.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's fine. Okay. So neither of you saw blood on the child. You didn't see any murder weapon. In your opinion, based on your relationships, you don't think this is something that Carolina either would have or could have done.
When I broke in and the grandmother was lying right in the middle there, the little girl was over in the corner. She was completely separate, and I certainly didn't see anything. I mean, they were separated, and I didn't. I mean, the blood seemed like it was all on the grandmother.
Okay.
Walls, I guess.
So what about earlier in the day before people started turning in for the night? Did you see any strangers around the building? Any suspicious activity? Someone watching the building? Anything like this?
Sort of look nervously at Marcia. Well, I mean, the new guy showed up, but he didn't. I mean, he's just one of us. He didn't seem suspicious in any way.
The new guy? Someone just moved into the building today. Or yesterday.
Yeah, you probably know him. He was a professional footballer.
And what is his name?
Peter Michael? Michael.
Peter Michael, okay.
Important suspect.
Did you meet Mr. Michael?
Yeah, the two of us. We walked down to, showed him where the grocery store was and stuff. So we walked down there together.
Okay. And what was your opinion of Mr. Michael? What sort of person would you say he is?
Seemed like a nice guy. He seemed like the rest of us. Seemed like he felt a victim of circumstances. Didn't strike me as particularly angry or anything, which I guess is kind of a surprise.
Okay.
Well, he works at the same place as I do, and he was working there all night during that time. He seemed very calm and was just doing his job. He didn't seem upset or anything. I wouldn't say I cannot say anything against him, I would say, but you're the detective, right?
So. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So, other than Mr. Michael, though, you didn't see anyone watching the building. Someone suspicious hanging around, maybe even talking with or meeting. Mrs. Roldan.
You know, when Peter showed up, it seemed like the Carolina went and talked to him.
Did Mr. Michael know Carolina from before?
I don't know. He didn't seem to. No, and it's been a little weird. She's been She made drawings of a bunch of us, and she seemed like she was giving them out, and I guess looked like she had one for him, too.
Oh, that was nice of her.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were cute little drawings.
Okay. So you didn't see anyone meeting with Ms. Rodan, or?
I mean, Edwin's happy to make a roll to see if I remember seeing anything like that, but.
No, you don't need to roll. You didn't.
Didn't. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. No?
What about in not just yesterday, but, let's say within the past week, any strangers hanging around the building? Here, Mrs. Rodan mentioned someone. Any problems like this?
I mean, I assume you saw the eviction notice.
What eviction notice are you referring to?
Apparently there was an eviction notice in the apartment, in her apartment.
Ah, and how are you privy to... Do you work for the property manager, or did you deliver the eviction notice, or?
No, one of the, and I sort of look around, somebody was saying that they saw it, but you know what is strange, speaking of the apartment, is the apartment's all cleaned out.
It's like they were ready, you know?
I mean, this morning they were, the cleaning crew, or the moving crew was in there, and then right after that, the cleaning crew was in there getting ready to, you know, take up the carpet and whatever.
We released the crime scene early this morning.
Wow. Okay.
I would imagine that the owners wanted to clean it up sooner rather than later.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
People don't generally like to leave bloodstains and that kind of thing. Just sitting around.
Yeah, didn't know it was that fast. That's amazing work.
Detective Taskell, you know, I don't know how much luck you're going to have getting Catalina to talk to some strangers in social services or some family who she's put with, but if you could let us try to talk to her, she knows us from the building, and we may be able to ask her what she saw. Would we be able to possibly try to help with that and be involved in trying to understand what happened and what she saw?
Well, that will have to go through social services and her attorney.
How can you make that happen?
You might consider either contacting social services or...
It is a waste of time.
Probably they just...
They just ignore you, social services. We need to do something else, detective.
Well, if you're not comfortable contacting social services, I don't know who her attorney will be yet. Probably by Monday, the public defender's office will have one assigned. You can call them on Monday and ask.
I don't know. I wonder what the press is going to say about this. This little girl.
They don't care about people in our apartment building.
They should. They should wear people.
Yeah.
Right, detective?
Yeah, you sure are.
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be? Who is it that you feel doesn't care about you?
Do
you mean you individually or everyone living in the building? You feel that there have been threats made or?
No, it's all good.
Okay, if you're certain. Well, I think I have everything I need. is there anything else? You would like to add?
Yes, she's a minor. We should be able to talk to her. She needs to know that someone cares about her.
If you were her immediate family, I'm sure something could be arranged. But since you are not, I'm afraid this is why we have social services. And you must understand, they can't just let any random people off the street go talking to the children in their care.
We're not random people. We live on the same building. We know her.
I understand
we're
that.
We're like family.
But from the point of view of the law, if you're not a relative, then you could be anyone. So, as I said, you can call the public defender's office on Monday and see if an attorney has been assigned to her, and you can talk to that attorney or contact social services.
Let's shake my head.
He closes his notebook and stands up. If there's nothing else, then.
Can I get your number, please, so that I can call you if I think of anything?
Of course.
You have a card?
That goes for you gentlemen as well. Feel free to
yes,
call if anything else that you think might be relevant to the case comes to mind. He hands you, all three of you, business cards.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming in. I'm sure this has been very helpful.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The three of you can make psychology rolls.
13 is it's just a normal success.
Fail again.
He is largely certain that the three of you have just wasted his time.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
And he sees you out. Let us cut over to the others. Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin, Mr. Michael.
Yes, sir.
You've made your appointment.
Yes.
Headed home.
Proffer letter, headed. Go ahead.
Did we want to go and speak to the police?
We do that back on Staten Island.
Yeah.
That's where the
okay.
State will be, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I head back to Staten Island.
Okay.
Before we leave, I will sort of walk around the building or go down the lobby and see if there's a back entrance for staff people.
There is a loading dock out back. But clearly, it's very obvious. You can see staff and everyone else goes in and out through the main entrance to the building, right? The building itself isn't just social services. It's mostly city government offices. It looks like kind of they each have their own floor, in this 50-story building. Kind of everyone goes in and out through the front door.
We see cameras and stuff back by the loading docks, or no? It's the 70s, so I don't know if that
probably not.
Yeah, not closed circuit stuff. Yeah. Okay. And I don't know. Pam will, make a note of where the doors are, or if there's one door. Or something like that.
A number of doors leading to a large lobby.
Oh, all the back doors led to the large lobby?
Oh, the back door. Sorry. Yeah. It's just a single loading, a single loading dock kind of thing. A couple trucks could back up to there.
We're going to have to wait.
Two big roll up doors, that kind of thing.
We're going to have to wait.
Well, there's probably a small door too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know even what their offices may not be on the same floor. A lot of these buildings have back staircases. So right. We could be on the 30th floor and the staff offices are on the 29th. Can't even wait outside. We can't even wait on the same floor. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just check when we go around to the back. I'll just check the back door. Is it locked? Does it seem to be reasonably sturdy if it is?
the doors to the loading dock, one of them is open. There's, you know, people moving stuff in and out of a truck.
Okay, they are moving. Okay, then I won't actually go up in terms of grab the door.
They do look like large, heavy, sturdy doors, though. Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Walk back to the subway. Subway back to the ferry. Ferry back to the island. Bus back to the Hoffman Building. And I think for the sake of narrative convenience, we will say that as the three of you arrive, you see the your three compatriots walking down the street, arriving at the Hoffman Building as well.
Afternoon, how y'all doing?
Pretty frustrated.
Oh, how come?
Spent the whole day at social services.
Oh, why?
Well, we thought we might be able to see Carolina, and it just a long line of people to get there. By the time we got there, we're never going to get back in time. So we made an appointment for next week with the caseworker, though.
I don't know. Seems like, well, I don't know. I guess I didn't hear anything, but word on the street is they are thinking that she's under arrest. So I don't know what you're going to see.
Huh.
In the case
under officer. Arrest.
Wow. Yeah. So, Jim, can I'm pretty sure I walked across the room and picked her up and brought her out.
At least I believe that is correct. Yes.
There's been a statement made a number of times that there was no blood on her. Is that a true statement, or did I see blood on her?
Why don't you give me a retroactive spot hit and roll?
That's at least a hard success, I'm sure. Maybe even
you are 100% certain that you did not see a speck of blood on her.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's I mean, the blood was on the ceiling and the walls, and none was everywhere. On her. I don't even know how that could even happen. I mean, well, anything happened back here?
Well, we went and talked to the police and basically told them there wasn't any blood on anything.
Huh.
I mean, that's stupid. They can't arrest a 6-year-old girl. It doesn't make any sense. It was law.
I mean, but the way she looked, there's definitely no way the girl could have done that.
What do you mean the way she looked?
Oh, well, you guys described she was quite the grandmother. I mean, how did she die?
The grandmother's chest was ripped open, broken open.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way the girl could have done that.
No.
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 But that's
no way. You keep saying you don't
know.
That's
not the police's problem. That's a court problem. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I don't feel comfortable with all of this. Same thing happened to me. That framing hair, a little girl.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, same thing happened to me. I got framed.
Huh. No, but by the way, you seem to be a suspect now.
I was framed as well. I was set up for trying to poison people in a restaurant where I worked. But I had nothing to do with it.
That's right. How did I become a suspect?
He's just kidding. Sure. They were just asking if there was anyone new or anything.
Yes. Don't mind me. dark humor. So, Jim, there was something.
But I think he thinks we wasted his time. So, you know, sounds like he thinks he knows everything he needs to know.
Well, if they are going to try to arrest the six-year-old, then where the heck are they going to put her?
Put her in jail. What do you mean, where are they going to put her?
Juvenile detention facility.
Not the first time. It's not the first time a kid's committed a crime.
Yeah, but somebody that young, they're not going to put her behind bars.
Well, they'll take her to a juvenile detention facility, and she'll be effectively behind bars. She won't be with the general populace. But she won't see the light of day if that's what happens until she turns 18 or so. She's a minor.
Just wait, in this time period, just wait, this is me. Wouldn't they still have, even life without parole for kids who do major crimes like murder and that? Wouldn't they? I know it's only recently that they started to actually do 18-year-olds, so...
That's going to be state by state.
Yeah.
How about law rules?
Nope. Law rules, yeah.
Good.
Nope. I do have decent law, but nope.
Home. Yeah, actually, I have some.
That is
oh, 03. 03 is really? Yes.
I got a 09 and I have a 5, but I really can't afford the lot.
Sounds like we've got a success, though.
So, yes, Mr. Romero would know and would be able to tell you. So generally, if someone in New York at this time, if someone under 18 is convicted of committing a crime, they would indeed be sentenced, you know, to, you know, some amount of time in juvenile detention up to the point, you know, either, you know, for an appropriate period of time or maximum until they turn 18, unless they minors can be tried as an adult and, you know, convicted to, you know, and sentenced to adult durations of things. But it seems very unlikely that, you know, that you've certainly never heard of a case of a six-year-old being convicted as an adult, right? You know, that's something that's reserved for, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds who are, you know, who, you know, commit something fairly heinous and premeditated and all that good stuff.
Not unless the judge is the Queen of Hearts.
Sure.
Anything else for the party to do prior to heading to work for the evening? I assume everyone's going to go to work.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. It's in a bar parole, right?
You bet. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Then I think this is a good place to leave the session for today. Having had a nice... fun time interacting with the various city bureaucracies. Yes. So that's it for now.